LibertyNation.com does not endorse candidates, campaigns, or legislation, and this presentation is no endorsement. Ahmaud Arbery's killing and LibertyNation.com's exclusive story about it on this episode of The Uprising.
LibertyNation.com. They're the resistance, but we are the uprising. With Scott Cosenza.
I felt this thrill going up my leg.
There's not going to be a President Donald Trump.
A president! Can you believe it?
This is somebody who knows what's right and what's wrong.
You know what podcasts are, by the way?
Talk shows for people who cannot make it in talk radio.
I just want to say to the men of this country, just shut up, do the right thing. For a change.
I think possibly that's the most unattractive form in which prejudice can be met in this country, is the rage of the entitled.
Welcome back to The Uprising, a podcast of LibertyNation.com, and a rare treat today. We have LibertyNation.com's, managing editor. No, that's Mark Angelides. We have the editor-in-chief, Lisa K. Donner, spouse to Uprising contributor, Timothy Donner, who also joins us for our return to Studio A.
Return to Studio A. I think we got the title.
Absolutely right.
That's the title for the podcast. And by the way, Scott, just a quick suggestion. Don't blow the title of the editor-in-chief. Not a good idea.
The sponsor of today's program and all Uprising programs is LibertyNation.com, and we're delighted to have our editor-in-chief here. Welcome to the podcast, Lisa.
Thank you, Scott, and I'm glad to be here, and I'd just like it to be known that we are not 6 feet apart, but then again, we are married.
That's right. And Lisa's taking Archie the podcasting dog. Archie the podcasting dog's place on today's show. He could not be with us.
Nobody can take Archie the podcasting dog's place.
You and I, Lisa, worked for a lot of hours this week on a story about Ahmaud Arbery. And, you know, I got off the podcast. So this thing kind of all broke just last week when we were done recording the podcast, Tim. When a fan of the show called and wanted to chat with me and asked if we talked about the Arbery thing. And as a joke, I said, oh, you mean those men who were defending themselves? And I said it that way because the very limited headlines I got were basically man gets murdered for jogging through a white neighborhood or man gets murdered simply because of the color of his skin. That's been the dominant narrative. And when I saw that Benjamin Crump was involved, I immediately thought, I don't know if that's true because I know that he just ran game on the whole Trayvon Martin thing and made it out like basically he was a baby who, you know, got murdered for no reason when, in fact, there was a more complicated story involved. And I wondered if there was a more complicated story involved in this Arbery thing. So that's sort of how we come to the story.
Well, that's kind of an understatement. I mean, it is really complicated because it seems like there's a variety of PACs involved. And the more you started digging, the more a tangled web was woven.
So there's two sort of sub-stories here, I think, that to talk about. One is the actual killing itself and whether or not that was justified or not and that analysis. And then the other is the political – and when you say PAC, because we're involved in it, nobody else is thinking – Political Action Committee. That's what we're talking about, the website that they have asked people to go to in order to drive interest in the story is put on by a Political Action Committee. And I was surprised when I started looking at it, the level of connections. It's all about progressive politics. It's AOC, it's Soros-aligned people and their Political Action Committees. And also I wondered if, because I know that Crump was all about the Benjamins in the Trayvon Martin story, who's getting paid with this thing? And to get paid, they have to create a kind of like a foaming of the mouth sort of idea that the man was murdered just because of the color of his skin. This is kind of what fueled my interest in the story. Lee Merritt, he's the attorney for the Arbery family, and this is what he said on, this is Sean King about the type of people that we're dealing with in order to, the type of people who committed the crime.
Andy asked, why were they chasing Ahmaud? These men were open bigots, open white supremacists, and Ahmaud was running through the neighborhood, and they, yeah. I see you. I see the Reed Justice Initiative. You know, they were chasing him, claiming that he burglarized a home. It never happened. And on the 911 call, they're saying that he looked into a home. That home, which we've gone and inspected and all of that, not only was the home completely empty, it was a home under construction. It had no doors, no windows, no materials, no equipment, nothing. And all he did as he was running is Ahmad peeked into an open window. He had on athletic shorts and a T-shirt. And so Ahmad committed no crime. They just used this as an excuse to confront and kill Ahmad.
Okay. Think of how outrageous that is. If you hear that, you're just random John Q. Black person or John Q. anybody who cares about justice in the United States. Oh, my God, all he did was peek in a window and they murdered him just because he was black? Well, that's all not true. And what these people, and I mean by these people, I mean Sean King and Lee Merritt, and certainly Benjamin Crump have a history of doing, is creating a kind of moving target. So they first say one thing. And then when that thing gets disproven, you forget about that thing, and then it's all the focus is on this other thing. So first it was he's jogging, he didn't commit a crime. Well, then you find out, well, he wasn't really wearing jogging clothes, and then he really did go inside the thing, so maybe he was trespassing. And then it becomes, well, that's not important. Well, if it wasn't important, why did you focus so much attention on it right away? Why did you say that he was an open racist and an open bigot? Because you want to foment this idea, right? Now, here's the juxtaposition. Here's Mr. Merritt and what he said on the Breakfast Club radio show.
You know, I was wondering, you know, people like this, this is not new to them. Is there any other cases of them harassing black people or anybody else in the neighborhood? Do we have anybody stepped up and said, hey, I had a situation with them before at all?
So far, we have not been able to find those incidences.
So he was an open racist and an open bigot when you can just make a bald-faced allegation, right?
He was a white supremacist.
Yeah,
I mean, that's, you know.
That's what they're
really
saying.
So there have never been any complaints. I'm intervening here to ask whether there have been any complaints, whether he has any police record, when anything's been filed against him.
He was a cop until a few years ago.
Okay, so he was a cop.
That to me is probably what... I think this was a story of the important colors were not black and white, but blue. Meaning, I think that if it was a black guy who was the former police officer involved in this shooting, we wouldn't have heard about it, and the same thing would have happened with a non-prosecution because they're favorably inclined to be charitable to anybody with a law enforcement connection. Not some like, Well, it was a black guy who got shot and it was a white guy who did the shooting. I don't see that.
I don't find this at the least bit unsurprising because think about it. Think about Trayvon Martin. Think about Hands Up, Don't Shoot. Think about Michael Brown. All of it. That stuff, the narrative, as I say, narrative uber honest. The narrative was more important than the facts. Facts didn't matter because they still used that as evidence of a society that is racist to its core. So what they're doing is they're roaring around like lions, hovering, looking for these kind of incidents to fit the narrative, because think about it, if they've taken to the bank those other incidents that didn't even happen, what are they going to do with something that's easily depicted, at least in the short term, as an obvious white supremacist incident by people who probably said something nice about Donald Trump?
You have to look at it like, in a way, CNN's happy when there's a war because... that's when people look at,
Absolutely. Pay
attention to CNN Absolutely. And give money to CNN. And I wonder, and I don't know them to be sure, but if Mr. Merritt and Mr. King, perhaps, you know, this is when people pay attention to them and they get power and perhaps money as well. We know that the idea that this was somehow, just the idea that this was people being set upon because of being, you know, the color of their skin, that that's what motivated the attack, is not at all supported by the facts. And that's what makes it such a, you know, an explosive story. I got in my hand
so
here.
So what are the facts? I mean, tell me what it is that we
facts.
Know about why this shooting occurred.
Well, I want to put 2 points out there as well. We keep hearing the word lynching, okay? This is about a lynching. Now, lynching happens when people are not satisfied with what a justice system is doing with a defendant or a person accused of a crime. They just do it to with themselves, right? They go and get the guy out of the jail and hang him, or don't even let him get to jail.
Well, it's vigilante justice.
Totally.
Right.
These people called 911 to report this guy. And,
right.
And in fact, there was no 911 call after the shooting because the cops were just right there because they had already been dispatched.
But isn't that being presented by the left as a smokescreen, that they're good citizens so that they can use that
later? They just waited until his whole life, until he had this one opportunity to kill this one jogging black guy.
Right,
who,
right.
And there is a history in that neighborhood of break-ins and things being stolen. The young man, Travis McMichael, had a gun stolen from his car. And two things can be true at once, which is they could have illegally killed that guy or murdered him, right? And also not been motivated by the racist means.
You think?
You know,
is that actually possible? Really?
Well, that's not what – so I have in my hand here – this is a letter from Team Rock, which is, I think it's Jay-Z and – Meek Mill signed this letter, and this is like an open letter, and there are a lot of Americans who put an import on this, and that's why I bring it to the table, and they say that these are not in doubt, these facts. He was unarmed and innocent and the victim of a hate crime. Well, we don't know if he was innocent. I presume that Travis McMichael's story is going to be that he was trying to arm himself. In other words, if I have a shotgun and you're grabbing it, you're attempting to arm yourself. And I presume that's going to be, and we can walk through the mechanics of that.
What was the victim doing that would have precipitated the necessity to shoot him? What was he doing?
Okay.
Do we know
so here's what happens.
About that?
In the video that's been released, we see at the very end of it, Mr. Arbery has, on the passenger side of the vehicle, we're looking at the vehicle, the truck from behind, okay? The older Mr. McMichael is standing in the truck bed. The younger is standing outside the driver's door with it open with a shotgun in his hand. Arbery looks like he's going to pass the truck on the driver's side, diverts, and goes around to the passenger side. But then, instead of continuing on past the truck or going to the right, which he could have and gone on other private property, presumably, to escape the gunman, it looks like he then takes a hard left turn to advance on the younger Mr. McMichael, and that's when the shot happens, and then the back and forth fight, or if you want to call it the murder of Mr. Arbery. You know, I don't have a quarrel with that at this point, but I'm unconvinced it's either one of those things. And this is one of those fact-specific things, and we do know for sure that it wasn't any of that lynching type stuff. And here's the one player in this whole game who seems to be quite comfortable with extrajudicial killing, and it's Mr. Sean King. Because Sean King posted to Facebook, he has subsequently taken it down, but I have here Andy Ngo, the independent journalist, posted it up, that Sean King wrote to Gregory and Travis McMichael, "I need you to know that I know where you live and where you're hiding out. Right now, I'm the only thing keeping about 150 people, different people, from killing you. To the state of Georgia, hold these men accountable for the lynching of Ahmaud Arbery. I assure you it's in your best interest." So he's saying, okay, you better do this or you're going to get murdered or killed. That's who Sean King is. He's very comfortable with saying something like that. I haven't heard anything like that from the McMichaels, but Sean King is comfortable with it.
But, Scott, the issue here, I think, is not so much is this a radically racist crime committed by two white supremacists, but that's over on one side. On the other, and I don't know that we can get to the bottom of this. Something is up because this wasn't even didn't come to prosecution for quite some time.
Yep.
So there must have been a reason why police didn't move forward. Now I know the left thinks that's because a black guy was killed by a white guy and et cetera. And that may be the case. We don't know that. But what really bothers me is the innocent people who are moved by this video. And it is a moving video. It really is.
Yeah.
Very troubling. The innocent people that are going to this website, I don't think they have any idea this runwithamaud.com is fueling and fanning and used for political purposes.
So when I went to runwithmaud.com, and that's where Merritt has directed people, and Mr. King as well, I was surprised how slick it looked. You know, that's what sort of was the whole generation of this piece. Because, you know, you figure it's like, gee, poor black family gets guy murdered, blah, 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 the civil rights thing. Like, oh, what's the, you know, you don't expect the website to look like something that was professionally produced and took weeks to put up. But that's exactly what it looked like. And then we see that the Action Pack, it says at the bottom of the website, is who paid for it. You go to the Action Pack's website, and they're a political action committee. I assumed, Lisa, that they would be like collecting money to send to the poor the mother of the deceased, or the parent, the family of the deceased. No, it goes to a political action committee
because it's a political crime that was committed. That's the whole point, that they're turning it immediately into a political crime with a rush to judgment with no facts other than what? 7 seconds of video.
Okay.
Yeah. That's right. Well, also, are the facts about the delay, which Lisa does mention, and those can't all be explained by, you know, like COVID-19 things. But that doesn't mean that they're honest brokers. We know for sure, for instance, just in terms of that, the website and the management. All right, here's a clip for you. This is Mr. Merritt from last week on The Breakfast Club.
And to be clear, I'm a civil rights attorney. I represent the family of Ahmaud Arbery. And we're trying to get the legal apparatus of South Georgia to arrest the men responsible for his murder and to bring their appropriate hate crime charges. We just got involved with this family maybe a week ago.
Just got involved a week ago. Now, that was posted, I think, the 5th or 6th of May, the clip you just heard. But here's an interesting data point. I hold in my hand the registration for the website for Run With Maud, and it was registered on April the 30th. So unless they registered the website the day they met the family or the following day.
They were so inspired that they immediately went out and created a website after meeting
them. Seems, sure. And here's the other thing. Yeah. It's one thing if you are attorneys get all the time people come to them with wild claims that can be true, but also can potentially not be true. And it's important that the attorney doesn't run out and act and speak as if they witnessed some thing without investigation. And that's the kind of claims that we have. It seems like now all these kind of crazy claims of wildly racist behavior, like the more outrageous a claim that Sean King can make, the more power accrues to Sean King, right? If it was a cop who just had a bad day and he wasn't that bad, it wasn't a big deal, Sean King doesn't get more tweets, followers, action plans, or whatever from that. But if you can make it even more horrible, right, that gets more power and interest.
Right. So what they're doing is they're ginning up the public to get really excited and frothing at the mouth about taking these guys and making sure they go to jail.
Here's Mr. King.
I thank everybody who, and for the million plus of you that signed the petition.
A million plus. That's why I just pulled that clip for you. It gives you an idea of the reach.
All right. So let's spend a little bit of time here, and I want you to unpack this because I think it's really important stuff. Because nobody else is talking about this, and I mean nobody. This is Friday, May 15th, that we're recording this. We have checked over and over and over. Nobody else has this story but LibertyNation.com, and I want you to talk about what we found when we dug into RunWithAmaud.com.
So the Run With Maud website is put out by the Action Pack. The Action Pack, visitors who go there and Run With Maud are asked for voter information, their names, their zip codes, and their emails.
But it's not shown as voter information.
Right. Well, no, they don't. Yeah. Right. It's sort of a wink and a nod, right? I mean, it's discoverable, but you have to look to discover it. And then then if you go to the PAC website, that's listed as a PAC, right? And it doesn't ask for information for voting, but for some action plan. But money given to that just goes to a political action committee, which is then can be used. It's a super PAC, which is a PAC that has fewer restrictions. That's part of the Citizens United legacy, I think, which is funny because they rail on it, but boy, they like to use it, right?
Well, both sides do when it's convenient.
All right, let's talk about the Action Pack a little bit.
So the
Who
Action Pack, Lee Merritt happens to be the treasurer of the Action Pack, and it was set up by Sean King. So it's theirs, and they are affiliated with Real Justice Pack, I think it is, and this other group called the Social – what is it called? The social. I keep wanting to say social distance, Tim. I've been on this story all week, and
refer to your own material.
Yeah, I think I just want to keep saying social distancing anytime I hear the word.
I know. We're so accustomed to it.
The social practice.
The social practice, which is a limited liability company, and it just seemed to me like if you wanted to get money out of something like this, how would you do it? That might be a way that you do it: is create a web of companies and. This one pays the other, and how does the money get, where does the money go? I don't know. And I know for sure that Sean King has had a number of financial, what's the right word?
Improprieties?
Alleged against him. And not by, some Klansmen, but by black activists that are unhappy with the way, and of course, he may or may not be black himself. This is the guy who came to prominence, for me anyway, as being accused of being a fake black guy.
Okay.
From the Black Lives Matter movement. Uh-huh. So there's some whiffs. There have been whiffs around him before about financial mismanagement, potential fraud, et cetera. And that sort of fuels the fire. And all three of these organizations are registered at the same address in San Francisco. And it just seems like...
Which appears to be not an office building.
Yeah, it's sort of like a mail drop kind of a place.
Like a retail mail outlet. Scott, I think we have to really connect the dots for the listener here. So Run With The Mod is connected and was...
Paid for by
the Action Pack.
Yeah.
The Action Pack sent $60,000 to another super PAC called the Real Justice Pack. And the Real Justice Pack ended 2019... with $1.5 million on hand, as well as their affiliations. Who are they affiliated with?
Let's the Middle Seat Political Consultancy, which is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's vessel for her and Justice Democrats.
Shocking.
Yeah. So it's just a political...
Who else? Let's talk about a major...
George?
Yes.
Soros player. For all the... Right. Yeah, well, that ties into, I think it's the Justice Democrats and Real Justice both about the prosecutor elections. Well, here's an interesting wrinkle about the prosecutor elections, by the way. The woman they finally got to be the independent prosecutor for this, she's up for election in November. So, it's kind of an interesting thing, right? She is an independent prosecutor in this Arbery murder case, right? Or now McMichael murder trial will be, presumably. But she lives in a heavily urbanized area, comprised mostly of Atlanta for her district, and she's going to face reelection campaign.
And so is AOC, by the way. Did you know she had challengers?
But I'm saying, so will this prosecutor feel free if she believes in her prosecutorial heart of hearts, Tim, that there should not be a murder prosecution, that this was self-defense? Is she going to be comfortable saying that?
Of course not.
Because she's...
We already know what her position has got to be. She has got no choice.
All right, let's spend a few minutes following the money here.
Okay.
Because I think that's an important thing. What we have are a couple of action packs, which their finances have to be made public.
They have disclosure requirements
by the Federal
Election Commission.
Which is how we have that.
Well, that's where we got those dollar figures from.
Right.
The filings that they made at the FEC.
Right. But the association with the social practice is a different ball of wax, because the social practice is a limited liability corporation.
It's a private company. And who they pay and don't pay with their money is private information. So
presumably, and we're not saying this happened, but it could be.
Yes, we're going to dodge a libel suit by not saying we have any knowledge of this, which we don't. But it's one of those moments. These are all, you know, organized by the same group of people. And this is a way to take money out of it without anybody knowing. And also solicitations are being solicited. But they're not going to, you know, I was expecting to see, like, you know, Arbury Family Trust, care of, you know, Stillwater Bank of Southeastern Georgia, sort of how you used to see those sort of things.
But that would just be a veneer anyway, because ultimately it would go to support any progressive cause that Soros supports. It's just another part of the narrative. Now he's got a story that he can latch onto, that he can fund and take to the bank as evidence that Trump's America is...
Oh, I think the money's
America
going in the opposite direction,
is,
Tim. He isn't pumping money into this. They're sucking money out to pump it into...
Exactly.
Yeah, it's the other way.
Yeah, so how it's working...
It's outrage. So
they're using it as a
Sean
predicate.
King just said on that clip I played that 1 million people signed that petition. Yeah. How many of those millions do you think stroked a check to this group? I bet
a few did.
What
if they only gave a dollar each?
Yeah. Well, we're going to know in a quarter from now when they file their second quarter filings, you know, what happened. But I suspect it's going to be a pretty big number.
Well, you know, 2 plus 2 often adds up to 4, doesn't it? And this
not in
just,
this world.
This just is not looking very cogent.
Anytime you
copacetic.
See the anytime you see the crump
copacetic.
In there, you know to right. grab your wallet. This is, by the way, I'm not laughing at the death of this man or his family's grief, but just this is just such crump being crump. I had to pull it as a clip. It's just a flashback to Trayvon.
For the district attorney for over 30 years. And so if they look at it with fresh eyes, then they will have probable cause simply based on this video that shows this horrific execution of Marcus's baby boy, his youngest son.
Now, the man was 25, and I just think it's funny. Like, everybody's always a baby who gets killed in a Ben Crump
and an
world.
Honor student. Yeah. Always an honor student.
Because it's more,
it's Bonfire of the Vanity, Scott. Yeah. That's what it is.
I do think there's something truly evil in taking a tragedy, and no matter what reason this fellow got killed, it's really very sad. It's a sad tale. But to take this tragedy and twist it into... a hate movement, and to gin up all this resentment and
to tear down our society,
fury.
Yeah,
it just seems to me a very horrible thing to
absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely,
I mean, stoking racial hatred.
Yeah,
is there anything? Right. Can you think of anything on a mass
pretty
scale
awful.
that's any worse than that? Really, no. I mean, stoking hatred of people simply by virtue of the color of their skin.
Well,
and it's not going from white to black. Now it's going black to... They're just looking for examples and stories like this that they can use as a springboard to show what Trump's America is really like.
Tim, let me just say one thing. Yes, there is something worse than stoking hatred. It's making money off of it.
Yeah, and inventing it, too. Stoking
it makes it even worse.
Maybe if it's actually there to begin with and stoked, it's less of a problem than actually just inventing it. I want to circle back around to this notion where these people, these advocates, talk like it's their personal, from their personal knowledge. And that aids in their storytelling and getting these voices.
It sounds very credible.
And this is this is another kind of thing about Mr. King that is really troubling and Merritt as well. It has to do with this Sherita Dixon Cole woman. She accused a Texas state trooper of sexually assaulting and kidnapping her. This is from a few years ago.
Okay.
She accused a Texas state trooper of sexually assaulting and kidnapping her as he was, like, arresting her for maybe a DUI or something else. Fantastic, public advocacy campaign by King and Merritt, and I'm holding a now-deleted tweet by Sean King, a copy of it, where he says that this woman was kidnapped and raped by a Texas state trooper, and he names them. I won't repeat the name, but he bold print names the guy. She's now being held hostage in Ellis County Jail. And then he goes on and says, she just happens to be a close personal friend of civil rights attorney slash my friend, who? Mr. Lee Merritt. So it's not just that we have a report of horrible behavior. It's we have a, I know this person. This is a true report. You should believe this report. And it was all made up. The dash cam came out. The guy was a professional police officer. He never advanced on her, never remotely touched her inappropriately or did anything like that. So we have a record in the past of this guy. You know, is it just he doesn't vet facts or he lies when they're convenient? Either one is too reckless for, I think, the national media to just not vet these stories, which is what they're doing. They've got a direct line because of Crump to the national media.
Okay, but you write in your story, Mr. King is a controversial activist who rose to national prominence over various campaigns involving high-profile cases and the Black Lives Matter movement. He's been accused of faking his own racial identity as a black man.
That was Milo.
And more seriously, massive financial impropriety involving a number of fundraising efforts. So, can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, the Tamir Rice thing probably is the big one there. He apparently started some kind of fundraising effort for the Rice family. It was then discovered that Rice's mother was homeless, and those funds had to be turned or were seized by the court to be used by the estate of Mr. Rice, as I understand it. So, there are, again, these are not allegations that are made by...
But there's an allegation made by another black man that worked with him.
Oh, well, certainly. Yeah, all you're talking about that quote. Why don't you go ahead and read the the powerful quote by...
All right. These claims are not made by white conservatives. You write in LibertyNation.com, and you really need to go to this article and read
Let's take a moment, Lisa, and thank today's sponsor of the Uprising podcast, LibertyNation.com, your source for conservatarian news and analysis. 24/7, 365. We have at least two podcasts. Tim, do we count Liberty Nation Radio as a podcast when it's downloaded in that form?
Yeah, there's a podcast version of the radio show, just so we can confuse people even more. And let's not forget, there are video versions of every one of them.
Where could a person,
including this?
Let's say a person didn't want to go to LibertyNation.com's YouTube channel and they were at home. What other vehicle or multimedia throughput device could they access some of these videos on?
Is there a risk-free way for listeners to be able to? Oh,
tell people.
Well, Scott, now that you mention it, how about the LibertyNation.com Roku channel, which brings Liberty Nation right into your bedroom to any TV in the entire nation or the world? All you need is the app, and you can see
fun for the whole family.
You can see this. You can see this. You can see the video version.
Right.
You can see all our warts exposed.
You can see my
in high definition.
Flamingo swimming thing. Trunks, which I am hoping to use presently.
I was trying not to mention.
All right, let's circle back around to the content portion of the program. And Lisa wants to read this.
Before we circle back, I just want to say one thing. And that is, at Liberty Nation, we like to say truth is making a comeback because facts matter. And I think that dovetails beautifully into this case that we're talking about. So, Mr. King, the controversial character, has been accused by black activists who work with him in the past, including a fellow by the name of DeRay McKesson. His quote, I thought, was very interesting. It is important to note that Sean, as in Sean King's journalism, has done, which is interesting journalism, but anyway, has done some good by bringing attention to stories that may have gone unreported or overlooked. But the person who paints your house before he steals your car has still committed theft.
You got that right. And
wow.
Hey, let's add this. You know, you kind of hung up there on the word journalism. I think he has done good things in journalism, but that doesn't mean that everything he does is good or he's should be greeted as a, you know, some kind of like religious
Maharaja
type figure. Exactly.
In this era, there have been so many people who were thought of highly, who had good professional reputations, who were willing to throw them away at the altar of left-wing social justice politics. When, you know, once you decide, Scott, Lisa, once you decide that the truth doesn't really matter, that facts don't matter, that facts are secondary to a larger narrative and a larger truth about injustice in a society, Once you throw facts and the truth overboard, then all bets are off. So something like this doesn't surprise me at all. And as a matter of fact, the only thing that surprises me from what I've heard is that it's so nakedly, directly hooked into progressive politics rather than a couple of steps removed, which is what it would ordinarily be.
All right, before we leave this, I want to read your final sentence.
All right, I'll let you read that in a second because there's a point I want to make before you do. And it's just this. And it will be a nice lead-in, I think. The other component of it is when you present something as the only acceptable way to view it, for instance, is that this was a lynching murder and without justification. If these people do get off, and they may, and we'll get into some maybe in future episodes, talk about some more of the legal justification arguments they might be able to make, then you're setting things up for a sort of Rodney King, you know, type riot situation, because it's like, oh, well, he just was murdered for no reason or for being black by open white supremacists, again, even though there's no evidence for both, and then you have the problem. So reserve that, Tim, and let Lisa.
I just want to say one thing about Rodney King before she goes to the big finish, because the answer to the Rodney King question, unfortunately, is no. And the question, of course, was, can't we all get along? Mm. And the answer is apparently no.
But not when you're stoking the flames of racial hatred. Okay, so you finish your story, Scott, and you say, one thing we know for sure, these two, and that is Sean King and Lee Merritt, are comfortable screaming vile racism first and sorting out the facts later. That may be good fertilizer for Twitter followers, voter registration, and donations in combating hate, but it is the enemy of justice and racial cohesion. Something this country could use right now.
Thanks for the edit. Thanks for joining us on The Uprising. Anything else for the people before you go?
Job well done.
Well, thanks so much. All right.
Job well done.
Well, that'll do. We'll keep it to the single subject. I think it's a lot for people to weigh in on. We'll have lots to talk about with Michael Flynn and lockdown news next week. But for right now, thanks so much for joining us, Tim and Lisa Donner, on this episode of The Uprising. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye.